We are the Blood and Platelets Podcast, Tales of Transplant Survivors. Brandon, Alex, and Chrissy, we are genetically modified humans who have come together to tell real stories, real emotions, real experiences, fill a void for patients, encourage, give hope, and inspire those going through treatment and beyond.
Hello, everybody.
I know, it's been a while. Sorry, everyone.
I know. Hello, schedules. World.
Our schedules are crazy.
We're such busy people now, post-cancer.
Yeah, so busy.
So busy. Not really. Okay, so we have decided to make this episode. Well, first, we want to dedicate it to a couple of friends of ours. One is a young woman named Julie, who Alex and I had the honor of meeting. Brandon unfortunately didn't get to meet her, but he will, I'm sure.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie. Julie is going to be having her transplant end of the year or beginning of next year, TBD, but she has a 10 out of 10 match already.
Ooh,
which is
amazing. Yeah.
And we are with you, Julie. We're thinking of you and sending you all love and light. And then we also want to dedicate this episode to one of our other friends who is in the midst of her battle.
Mm-hmm.
And she will remain nameless for right now out of respect to her privacy. But we are thinking of her, and we know that her transplant is coming up soon. And again, just sending all sorts of positive energy towards her and her treatment.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about caregivers. And it's not to be mistaken by caretakers. Here's a little fun fact for you guys. Caretakers are people who work in funeral homes.
Is that
right? Oh, really?
Really? I never caretaker.
Huh? And I only got educated about that because we had caregivers for my mom when she was ill. And I remember one time a nurse was, and I said to my mom's nurse, I was like, oh, our caretaker is at home. She's like, just FYI.
Yeah,
Not. It's just something funny and
that's
weird because a lot of people say caretaker and it makes sense, but at the end of the day, it actually has a different definition. But so caregivers are who we're going to be talking about today. And okay, I'm going to prompt the two of you with the first question. And the first one I think that is I've gotten asked a lot post transplant and in recovery is how do people give care to patients? How can people provide care? How can they provide help? How can they be active for the patient? Because a lot of people who are in the network of the patient's friends and families might feel a little bit intimidated or overwhelmed and not knowing what to do. So I toss this to you guys. What was instrumental in either of your guys's cases?
Well, can I just throw up before I answer that question?
Yeah.
I think for caretakers, you know, when you find out a loved one is diagnosed, it's a lot. A lot goes through your mind, and instinctively, you want to give everything to that person. You want to make sure that they're the focus, that they're happy. But it's important that as a caregiver, you want to yourself be physically and mentally ready.
Yes.
You know, if you're
self-care.
Not physically, yeah,
right.
If you're not physically or mentally prepared, and if you're, you know, not in the right space, mind space, physically, mentally, you're not going to help your loved one. So I think
that's a really good point.
You know, yes, you want to be there. You want to focus on the patient, but take time for yourself too.
Yeah.
Like that's important.
Yeah. Processing your emotions, right? Because it's such an emotional roller coaster for everyone involved. But I agree. I think, you know, I think there's a tendency to want to do everything for the patient. And yes, there's a lot that you can do, but I think you're right. Like it's almost like a burnout. You could burn out really easily as a caregiver.
Uh-huh.
And you have to be very careful to make sure you take time for yourself to, you know.
Yeah, because at first you're going to want to do everything. You want to get food for them, you know, whatever it may be. But that's going to, like you said, it's going to tail off and you're going to start to feel the effects. And then that's when you really need to take time for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I know that Mark, when he was, so he stayed in the hospital. He didn't leave the hospital when I was there for like 2.5-3 weeks straight. And finally, as I was getting closer to the end of getting released to go home, and you know, things were going well, fortunately, he would go home to like do laundry or something, you know, and then like he did spend a night at home. But I remember it was that first night that he didn't spend the night at the hospital, and I was very emotional about that. He was very emotional about that, and he was worried the whole time. But I think it was good that he could do that and see that like the next morning I was okay. You know, and then when we got home, a few months after we were home, he went, and he was very hesitant to do this, but he went on a camping trip just to like decompress basically from all the stress and worry about, you know, caring for me. And I was very glad and very encouraging that he did that, because I could see it in him. I was like, you need a break. You have been dedicating so much to me, but you need to take care of yourself. You need to go away, shut down, don't worry, like I'll be fine, you know, all that. So I agree, it's something very, very much important, as an important part of the process, for just as much as giving care, taking care of yourself as a caregiver is just as important.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Like, what do you think, what would be your advice to people when they say, how can I help? How can I help the patient? What would be your advice? What would you say to someone if they said, Alex, I have this friend, they've just been diagnosed, they're going to go through treatment, they're going to get a transplant, or whatever the medical path they go down, I want to be there for them, but I don't know what to do. You know, do you have thoughts for them? Do you have words of encouragement, or what do you think?
I think the most important thing that I appreciated when I first got diagnosed, you know, besides my mom, who is my permanent caregiver, you know, she was there by my side the entire time. And then my aunts and uncles and relatives that would come by, you know, every so often when they would have a chance, and they would, you know, and then all of my friends. And I think the best thing that I received from them was just their time and their patience to and their feelings of compassion for me while I'm there, trying to cheer me up, and words of encouragement, and pictures. Those were really important. If you guys, you know, when I was in the hospital, I was in several different, it was a long process, I was in several different hospital rooms, and every single one I would just, you know, post up my walls with everything, like pictures and posters and drawings. Like I even remember I had a room where I requested everybody who came to visit me to, you know, draw a picture and write me a message. And you know, I that wasn't planned for me. I don't know how that happened. I just, you know, I started putting things on my walls, and then everybody that came in, I was like, I want to see, after you leave, I want to still see your presence. I want to still have your presence.
Oh, I like
your message. So it became a thing. Like every room I went to, I had people like draw me pictures. And
that's cool.
Messages. And that kind of stuff for me was the most, you know, as far as just somebody wanting to give support to somebody who's in the hospital, because there's not really much else. You can't bring them food. You can't bring them I mean, it depends on how severe your treatment is at the hospital. Yeah. Everybody has a different degree of how much
restrictions.
Yeah,
because my initial chemo, I was able to, or people were able to bring in food.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So it just depends on your treatment.
Yeah.
How severe.
Yeah. And if you can even eat, you know, when I was going through treatment, it wasn't that they couldn't bring me food. It's just I couldn't freaking eat. But I value just people coming over and their time,
yeah,
their presence. Uh-huh. And I remember one time I had a really, really bad spell of a headache in my first induction chemo. You know, it was like 7 days, and then with a month of in the hospital after that,
right?
And I had these horrible headache spells where I just couldn't shake it. Like I wanted to like bang my head like on the wall.
Yeah.
And I had a buddy who was there with me. He was like, just, you know, bang your head. Like, you know, he was there with me, like,
right,
you know, just shaking his head.
Yeah.
And he's like, shoot off. Like, you know, that enthusiasm and that, mm-hmm, that encouragement. Like, mm-hmm, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you remember stuff like that.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to put it, because I think people are nervous. No one really likes the hospital, so you don't really want to go and hang out there. But knowing if you have a loved one there or going through treatment, time is something that's like, yeah, just a visit is really special. You know, like, it's so boring half the time,
mm-hmm,
that you're just there.
Yeah.
And then also it takes your mind a little bit off of either pain or nausea,
yes,
or diarrhea or whatever symptom you're going through, you know, at that point. It gives you a little respite from that as a, mm-hmm, as a patient, because it's almost like you don't even have to, as the caregiver or the person going to give care, you know, it's like you don't even always have to go with, you know, okay, I've got to entertain this patient. Half the time it was great that I was the one asking, like, what's going on? What's happening? What's new? What's happening in the world out there, you know? And
mm-hmm,
it's just a nice respite of not having to think about your PICC line, the IVs,
yeah,
all that stuff, and letters and cards.
Yeah.
As simple as that is,
it takes your mind off of what's
and
freaking
it,
you out.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
It takes your mind off.
Yeah.
Like,
because there's plenty of time during the day to freak out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Dude, just so you know, I mean, for people out there that, you know, haven't gone through like a traumatic event like cancer, like, once you get to the hospital and they say, okay, you're gonna have to be here for like 10, 15, 20, 30 days.
Or unknown. Right?
And you have all these tubes and needles and all these plugged into you, and you can't, if you have like severe claustrophobia or anxiety, like,
yeah,
you literally can't walk away 2 feet from your bed unless you rip everything out,
mm-hmm,
which a lot of nurses and doctors say they see all the time. There's people that just can't handle,
right,
just laying there in the same room, in the same bed, in the same clothes,
right,
you know, with no control of over
what's happening.
Mm-hmm. With that, you can see how important it is and how valuable it is when somebody from the outside comes in, and especially somebody you know. It does something to your heart. It does something to your spirit. It does something for your friend or your loved one when you go there, and, you know, everybody's energy. You know, when somebody comes in, you could feel their emotions. I mean, their feelings. You get goosebumps. It's not necessary, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's a vibe. It's a feeling.
Yeah.
And I personally believe. That these kinds of feelings are healings, like, for yourselves. It's, you know, good energy to give you more, to strengthen your cells, like all the cells in your body to fight what you're doing, because all your thoughts affect your cells.
Yeah.
You know, bad thoughts, you know, bad cells. I mean, whether you believe it or not, like, I'm 100% believer of that, dude. I've gone through it. I went through it.
Yeah.
Like, I destroyed my cells before I got sick with my terrible, terrible thoughts about life that I did before. And then now I'm, like, beyond healthy, recovered after going through what I went through. And it's all because of the power of thoughts. And your friends and your caregivers affect your thoughts when you come in to visit them, or you say something to encourage them. Like, you're affecting what they're thinking when they're laying there in bed.
Yeah. Right?
You want them to think as much positive stuff as possible, rather than, fuck, am I gonna die? Like, this is the worst. I hate this. Like, I hate, you know, change it. Like,
and I think you're right. Like, it's just the presence.
Yes.
That they bring, the love that they're bringing.
Not
to
presents.
Like, right.
Well, but that too. That helps too.
Those help.
Yeah, those are presents.
But
are
presents
good.
And beat your
money,
bean.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know, I think that half the time, my family, so my room always had, like, the max people that they could allow in there. You know, I had my auntie, my uncle, my dad, my brother, a few friends, a few other aunties, a few other uncles, like, depending on the day, rotating in and out, right?
Yeah.
Half the time, we weren't even talking to each other, but just feeling that they were sitting there with me, I was like, okay, I just felt comfort with that, you know?
My auntie and uncle would come and sit there for hours all the time, and I didn't have that much stuff to say to my auntie.
I know.
But, you know, they would just, you know, read a magazine or chill.
Just hang out.
Their presence.
Just
hang out.
Just their presence.
Just to be as
very comforting.
As possible,
Like,
I'm not thinking about it. I'm just chilling.
Yeah. And sort of having that consistency, I think, is important for patients. Mm. Like, if you're a patient and you are, maybe you don't have a huge family or a huge friend group, but just having a few, it doesn't mean that you have to have 900 people waiting outside your door.
It's the quality, not the quantity.
Yeah, it's
right?
The quality, and it, you know, it's the consistency of it too. I mean, my aunt was there every day.
Yes.
You know, and she sat there and she would do her, I don't know if it was Sudoku. Oh, no.
Yep.
She was playing Candy Crush.
Yep.
She'd play Candy Crush on her iPad.
Yep.
And then she'd order me lunch. And then she'd order me dinner. And it was just.
They don't got to be there.
They don't. No, she didn't have to. But she spent she literally took off time for work to do. I mean, she did that, you know. But
I'm just thinking back when I was in the hospital, like, my poor mom. There was no.
There's no iPad.
iPads. No, your mom had to literally just sit there.
She had to read a book.
Read a book or
I don't
a magazine.
Even remember what she did to keep herself
occupied.
But you guys talking about, like, friends and family coming over. I remember, I was almost not
you
embarrassed.
You must have been thrilled when your friends.
That one, I was happy to see my friends too.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't like a sense of embarrassment, but, like, I wanted to show them that I was okay.
Right.
So mentally I had to be like, okay, I gotta be up.
Yeah.
I gotta,
you know that's,
show them
that's
I'm doing well.
Right.
So
that's a expression of your character, because I think not everybody would want to be like that in
some
your position. You know,
well, like the sympathy and
but
it was more.
I felt
of,
the same way though. I was like, I don't want anyone to worry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You know.
No, that's so good.
That helped you probably physically more than you could ever quantify, right?
Yeah, because I would get up, I would actually walk the hallways with some of them, which
and
I would not have
thing.
Done.
That's a huge thing that I think caregivers don't necessarily credit themselves with. Like, what it forced me to get out of bed and walk, because if I had someone there, I was like, okay, well, I'll take you on my little walk, even though I don't really want to go, you know? And also, the caregivers I had coming on a daily basis, they were forcing me to go on the walk. So it was like, okay.
My basketball coach would come.
Yeah.
He's like, get your ass
up.
Okay?
Yeah.
You got to be.
Time for the morning walk. Time for your afternoon walk, you know?
Was it Oh, wasn't there a time when you were like in a bubble when they couldn't?
Yeah, when I was getting my chemo right before my bone marrow transplant, I was in the whole like bubble
total
room.
Isolation.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When people came to visit you then, that must have been a real crazy.
It was cool.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it was cool for them because, like I said, like the wall was. Yeah, well, for me, I was just inside. I couldn't really do much. But for them, it was like the wall that was all like the plastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they would like put their arms into like
the. Oh, they really had the.
Yeah,
the
arm that
no
went
way.
Inside, so the nurses wouldn't have to come in
like,
and like
for the
gown
babies,
up.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
it was like an actual.
The
yeah, they put their arm into like the sleeve
oh
and then
God.
Put it inside
and
then do whatever they have to do.
To
yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Dude.
Wow. You were totally bubble boy.
You gotta like make a reenactment of that. You gotta
yeah.
see that. Like,
I saw my room a couple years ago.
Do you have pictures?
I'll find one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one of
Please.
A couple of my friends.
Bring us
yeah,
some
I wanna
pictures.
See this.
That's so
it's,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it looks
not,
like
not
it's from
cool,
like
the
80s, but it was only
memory, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
20 years ago.
Yeah. So let us know. How was it like having caregivers? Like, how did caregivers affect you, like, at that age? And, you know, yeah, was it like mostly family, friends, or?
The main one was my mom. She was there every day. For I don't know how long.
Yep.
I remember her asking me, like, can I go home? And I was like, no.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I got, like, emotional. But
yeah.
She's like, okay,
yeah.
like. But then after, I think, maybe a couple months, a month, where I was kind of, like.
Yeah, more stable.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just laying here anyways.
Yeah.
I'll let her go home and come back.
Yeah.
And then my dad would come.
Right.
But a lot of the times, a lot of, like, friends after school would come, teachers.
Oh, yeah, teachers.
That's so
people awesome. From like the basketball community would come out.
Yeah.
A lot of people who I didn't know would come and visit me because they saw like in the newspaper that I was sick.
Really?
So yeah, just like the constant.
Wow.
The constant visits.
Yeah. You just made me think of something like when people you don't expect come visit you. That's
that's
a really cool
too,
thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's like whoa, like
so,
how'd you even hear about it?
Yeah.
Or you just don't ever, you didn't expect them to like.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh my God, that's so nice of you.
Yeah, like I think I said it in my very first like the interview episode, where there were a couple of people that would come in, like talk to me, and then I would look at my mom and dad like, do you know who that was?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, no, I thought you knew who that was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's crazy. That's such a good point, though.
Yeah.
Because I bet people are, like, afraid to visit. Oh, I don't, you know, I don't want to, barge in or impose. But it's, like, those are some of the best visits.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, totally unexpected.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those nice surprises where you're, like, oh, my gosh, you know?
Yeah, when you're laying there in the hospital, any kind of these little
And they walk in, you're like, oh,
great.
Yeah.
Now, the best ones is when they called beforehand and were, like, I'm going to so-and-so. Can I get you food there?
I'm oh, like, yeah.
Yes, because the hospital food sucks.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
my God, it's so bad.
It's gotten better.
Yep.
Hasn't gotten better at City of Hope.
Oh, really?
Anyone who's
going
to City
like,
of Hope.
Well, I think, like, the hospital food that they serve to patients are, like, standard disgusting.
Yeah.
But at least at CHLA now they have that cafe downstairs. It's, like.
No, some of the ones that got redone, like, I know UCLA Reagan.
Uh-huh.
It was like a relatively new hospital.
Their cafeteria.
They had a nice cafeteria.
Yeah.
City of Hope needs to
step it up.
If you're listening.
Sorry. We'll bring you food. Let us know. We'll bring you food.
Yeah.
But I think if anyone is questioning what to do, I think the best thing to do is try to get a hold of a family member or someone who's there to ask.
One of the point people, right?
Yeah.
And ask.
Yeah.
But I also think you need to be more proactive as a caregiver to say, as opposed to just saying, what can I do or what can I bring? Because a lot of times it's like, oh, Jesus, I don't know. We're not thinking in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Say, like, can I bring... Is there music that they're missing? Can I bring some books, puzzles, letters? You know, think of something doesn't have to be anything big, but think of something.
Yeah, draw a picture.
Yeah, draw a picture. Yeah. Literally, say I have something I want to bring to their room.
Yeah,
a lot of people. Would that be okay? You know, that kind of stuff, as opposed to just the blanket, what, you know, let me know what I can do, which, mm-hmm. you know, has all good intentions, but rarely gets answered.
Right.
Rarely do you get someone saying, what can I do? And the other person on the receiving end saying, oh, well, actually, I need you to go to the grocery store for me and get milk and eggs and stock my refrigerator when I get home because I'm at the hospital all day. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to get that kind of answer. So instead of asking that, just take a little time and think, you know, maybe this person, maybe I can get them some fuzzy socks. Bring some new fuzzy socks to the hospital. You know, I don't know. What, it's stupid small stuff, you know, but like, mm-hmm. just having that little extra thought of it, I think, makes a difference in the caregiving, mm-hmm. you know? I always kind of noticed that, like, some of my friends were very, they were really amazing in terms of, you know, thinking of things to do without having to ask me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I got... one of my best friends, she asked everyone in my family and other friends to write a letter, and then she compiled it all into a book. I think I told you guys that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I took it with me, and it was amazing. You know, it's like things,
get creative.
Creative, yeah. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like, don't just go to the store and buy a gift card.
Well, even you if, know, the, but saying, it, yeah, but
I'm
it,
just saying it's a.
Like it's a, just put a little, you know, thought.
Put yeah, a little thought.
Just,
like,
just if sit there for a minute, think what can
the meaning, what means a lot.
What can I do? Yeah. That would really lift this person's spirits. Because that's really what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're not going to be, there are caregivers like our main caregivers, right? The ones that we're going to interview later in another episode where they can really talk about, for those who are going to be the main caregivers, real things like you're going to need X, Y, and Z. You know, I learned this, I learned that. But for the most part, a lot of the caregiving is just going to be more about lifting the patient's spirits,
mm-hmm.
you know, and seeing what you can do.
Yeah, I feel like me and you, you and I,
yeah,
we had more of a similar type of experience with caregivers because we were older.
But yes.
I feel like Brandon,
totally,
you know, must
totally.
Have had a different type of
absolutely
vibe to his caregivingness that he received.
Yeah.
I mean, mine was like, you know, like 90% my mom, still probably like Brandon. But still, like, it must have been different for you then. You know, when you were younger, maybe you could say like what was really important for you. Because, you know, as an adult, like, I don't want like games or anything like that, but that might be something that was good for you at that age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, were gifts that would keep you, you know, like
entertained.
Yeah, entertainment and stuff like that.
Entertainment wise,
I mean, it's different too, though, because it was so long ago.
Yeah,
I was happy to have cable in the room. Yeah. We didn't have cable at home. I mean, that's how times have changed.
Yeah. What did you like look most forward to, like, since you were in that, since you were already stuck there, like, what gave you this, you know, caregiving feeling, like, from people, like, what helped you the most? What gave you the most, you know, support? When you were,
I think, like you said, like the visits. Mm-hmm. From friends, family, and my mom being there, you know, most of the time was really comforting.
Yeah.
But then I realized that it was getting hard on her too. So
totally.
That's when I kind of realized, okay, yeah, you can.
Well, she had your brothers too.
Right.
I mean, all simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever recall like arguing with your mom while you were going through treatment, like just because you were frustrated? And...
No. Maybe when it was like time for me to get like my tutor, because I was like homeschooled.
You didn't like
So I'll be like, no, just tell them that I'm not feeling well. Go away. I think that was the only time, but
you should get a out of homework pass for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's another story to tell. But I think my mom, like, told people that my favorite animals are penguins. So after a while, people would come in with, like, stuffed penguins and stuffed animals.
That's a good idea.
So, like, half of my wall, like, on my bedside were, like, cards. And then on the bed where, or on the windowsill, she would have, like, all the stuffed animals.
A good idea. I like that.
Some of my friends, of course, basketball was, like, my life back then. So friends would bring me, like, Nerf things to put on the door.
Like a little hoop in your room.
A little hoop.
I would have enjoyed that.
Yeah, I would have too, so I think just
finding out, like, the
now.
Small details, like the likes of the person.
You know what? That's the interest. That's actually a great suggestion to people, because everybody has likes. I mean, unless you come across someone who, like, I don't know, is just really difficult and doesn't like anything. But like, Hawaii was a huge thing for you. Your room was decorated with all, you know, images
surfing,
waves, Hawaii. Like, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be likes. It can be seasonal. Like, I was in the hospital at Christmas time, so people came and they brought decorations, like Christmas decorations for my room, you know? So it's like small things like that, you know? Like, I love that. The penguins are your favorite animal. If there's patients out there that have, you know, certain likes or quirks or things from home, or it's seasonal, like Halloween, they're in the hospital in October, you know, or like, you can kind of theme it out, you know, little things. That's a good idea, actually. That's that's a good suggestion.
I would have totally bought you a penguin if I if I was there.
I'm gonna get you a penguin for Christmas.
Penguins.
Are they still your favorite animal?
Penguins, yeah.
Okay.
And for some reason, I like anteaters too.
Anteaters?
Oh, yeah. Weird.
Zot. Yep. I'm an anteater. I graduated from UC Irvine. Yes.
Yeah. Funny. I know. Weird.
Wasn't there a cartoon back in the day with the anteater? Do you remember? Maybe I'm just aging.
No, there was Arthur.
There was, right?
Arthur.
Some kind of a cartoon.
It was a book.
Yeah, okay.
Remember?
Something like that.
Wasn't it Arthur? There was like a series of books. Anyways, that's very off topic, but I feel like it was Arthur. Okay, so another thing.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. What?
No, I was going to, if we're, I was going to say, there should be, like, things you shouldn't say.
Yes, when you're, I like, you know, that. Let's talk about
When you go visit somebody in the hospital. Or,
what,
you know,
not to talk about.
Some people came and said stuff in good heart.
Right.
It actually, you know.
And I think some people just don't understand social norms, etiquette, and also boundaries, maybe.
It's not really etiquette. I think it's
more
sensitivity.
Yes, sensitivity. Yeah. Okay, so what were some of those examples for you?
Something like, oh, did you hear about the statistics of, you know, survival rate?
Oh, yeah, don't bring up stats.
You know, or, you know, and Not that I don't think somebody, you know, like I said, people always
think they're trying to relate.
People are always trying to give you what they think you would want, but sometimes you gotta consider in the patient's position what they do and what they don't want to hear.
One, what is that information gonna do for you as a patient?
Yeah,
like, it's like, I'm already in it.
You're already
like,
there. Yeah. You're already going through it.
Do so
what
much.
Are you What are you gonna really do with that info? Yeah.
Or just something even more simple, just like, I don't know, you know, did you hear about the, you know, the mass shooting or the
Yeah,
know,
keep
or
the world news
know,
maybe
keep,
to a minimum.
Keep when you go in and you take care of your you know, somebody that's sick. You want to just focus on
positive.
Positive.
Just yeah, like, leave negative stuff at the door.
I think one, too, that people tend to say is like, oh, I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
Or because I've been really sick before. And I'm like, I didn't have cancer, but they say, I know what it's like. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, like, I know what you're going through. Like, I'm so sorry. Like,
interesting.
Yeah, no, you don't know.
I didn't have anyone say that to me.
That's
fortunately
good. Yeah, that's good.
I didn't have anyone say like, oh, I know I know what you're going through. I had a lot of people say, I don't know what you're going through, and that was fine. I was fine with that. Uh-huh. You know, I'm trying to think of if there were things that there were things said to me post transplant that I felt like was like, why would you say that? More around like the statistics. Like, I got told by several friends. And all coming from the intention of, like, just good. Yeah. But it sort of came across, like, why would you tell me that? Like, I had a lot of people say, oh, we knew someone who was going through their transplant same time as you, but they didn't make it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't
want
to tell you.
Throw
out. And it's like, well, why are you telling me now?
Yeah.
You know? I mean... Yeah,
just keep it positive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think
that's
a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
Just keep it light and uplifting, right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I agree. I feel like something that is a good piece of advice for caregivers too is bring a notepad. Like, if you're going to be if you're going to be a main caregiver, or you are going to help in ways that's like assisting the patient at doctor's appointments, I think that that's a very valuable use of time to offer to go to an appointment, a doctor's appointment with a patient, if they want it, you know, or be there when the doctor's there. So, because as the patient, you have... Either you have serious chemo brain and you can't really concentrate on much, or you're nauseous, or you're not feeling good, or you're tired, or the list goes on and on, right? Of why you can't necessarily focus on everything, let alone this fact that you're facing a life-threatening deal.
Yeah.
I think caregivers are hugely important to provide... sort of those additional ears for patients, because there were many appointments. My prep work, I had like an entourage, and it was funny because my City of Hope, she was my prep nurse, Larissa. We came in, she's like, "Are all these people coming in to the appointment with you?" I was like, "Yeah, sorry."
All of these?
We're making sure nothing gets
by. Wow, you roll deep. I was like, "Yeah, I know." I mean, I had my cousin.
Are you a rapper?
I know, right? I was like, "I'm really important." I had my cousin, my aunt, Mark. I think my dad was there, or my brother was there. Like, there's like five people, you know, which is not, you don't need five people. But at least one other person, I feel like. A lot of times Mark would say, "You did not hear what Dr. O just said." I'm like, "Yes, I did." He's like, "No, you did not." So I think it's really, really helpful, you know, to have those extra pairs of ears when you're going through any kind of cancer treatment, any kind of medical crisis. It's just overwhelming, all the information.
It is. I mean, yeah. I was never a very organized person before I got sick, so all this medical stuff was so overwhelming that me and my mom couldn't handle it.
Yeah,
we just let it flow.
Right.
I just eventually just went to just faith.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know.
I get that.
But I mean, don't get me wrong. It is important, and if you can. Have everything, you know, notes taken, well heard, and lots of ears, and you know, lots of minds. If you have that, it's a, you know, that's a privilege.
I agree. It's a privilege.
And you know, it's recommended. It's highly recommended because when I first got diagnosed, you know, my family doctor in the hospital, and then I went to the first hospital and went to City of Hope. All of the doctors told me, Alex, as you go through this journey, try to keep all of the documents, try to keep notes and be aware of times and when you do what procedures and whatever. But I did it, you know, just like when I was in school, I did it for a little bit and then I just stopped.
Right.
It just, I was like, whatever. Yeah. I just, you know, but phones are very important. You know, 5 years later now, thinking back to my experience, a lot of times I go back to my phone and I find things that I either wrote down or picture, you know, videos.
I have pictures that I look back at.
Yeah, it helps with you don't have to write everything down. You could just record.
Oh yeah, yeah. Recording appointments is, I think that's actually
using your phone. Really helpful. You really utilize your phone for a lot of these. Totally. You know, or medications like.
Yeah. Snap a picture of it.
This is the lazy way of.
It's not lazy. Know, of it's logging. Just, I don't think it's lazy. I think it's using technology the most efficient way.
Yes.
You know,
like, and you could probably be even way more efficient than the way.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
So I feel like too, along with the phones, because we took a lot of notes on our phones and took pictures and, you know, I'm not sure if we recorded any appointments. I don't think we did because I always had multiple people there, but my caregivers, I feel like the nice thing that they did for me in appointments was they asked questions that I wasn't going to ask. You know?
Uh-huh.
I remember, and they asked, and I think I think sometimes patients get afraid to ask doctors, like, wait, what does that mean? Or what do you, I don't understand. And not, I wouldn't say that that's the case for everybody, but I think, you know, certainly when you're talking to a doctor, there's either they can lose sight of their audience and they speak to you as if you should know half the stuff they're talking about. But it was helpful because, like, I would have people who would say, I have no idea what that means. Can you explain that? Or, so what does that mean when you say this? How is that going to affect Chrissy? You know, it was like things that I didn't have to worry about asking, even though they were in my head, but they would say it out loud for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that was.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think for caregivers, you should not be afraid to be that voice in the room. Because a lot of times the patient's not going to be that voice for themselves.
Right.
And the patient, especially like in your guys' case, your moms for sure would be speaking up because they'd be asking for their child, you know? And the same way, like my aunt did that a lot for me too. You know, she'd be asking a lot of different things and she'd ask the nurses stuff. And, you know, so I feel like it's really, that's a really important encouragement to caregivers to do, like speak up.
Yeah,
don't
definitely.
Be afraid.
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, you know, you can be bossy as a caregiver and say like what you need to say. Yeah,
yeah, that's a really good point.
I felt like was really helpful.
Yeah, I think it's important to make the the patient feel like they're not alone.
Definitely.
I really felt like I didn't go through this alone, just from all the, and it was just all the caregivers and all the friends and all the, it was like a group effort to.
Yes, a group, totally.
To beat cancer.
I felt the same way, so group effort.
If you're not the one that's going through the disease or the cancer or whatever what you're going through, try to still feel like you're part, like, and you are, like,
they
just
are,
believe
yeah.
that you are part of the victory and triumph of the person going through what they're going through.
Totally.
Your energy totally can boost them and make them better, or you could actually drag them down and mm-hmm. make them worse.
Like, yeah.
You decide as a you know, as a person, how much of your energy you want to, what kind of energy you want to mm-hmm. give to you know, and how much of a part of the battle you want to be.
Right.
Like, you know, all of my friends and family and people I ran into, they made me feel like they wanted to be a part.
Me too.
Yeah.
And, I feel like the only thing I went through alone was the physical part of it.
Right.
Like, I never felt, I really did feel like everybody was in it with me. Like, mm-hmm. they were in deep, you
yeah.
know, like, emotionally, and they were there physically, you know, visiting or writing letters or sending cards or texting me or
yeah.
emailing, whatever.
Yeah.
They were all there emotionally in it with me. So the only part that I went through by myself was the physicality of it. And literally just like the actual, you know, standing there for the radiation or getting the chemo.
Yeah, I think if
that was really the
I think that's
part.
How it should be if, you know, if you have that luxury of having that
yes.
support system.
Yes.
I think the physical part, just, you know, receiving the chemo,
I mean, no one else
the procedures,
can go through that,
right, the radiation,
you.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know.
That should be the only thing you would have to worry about.
Right.
Everything else should be, hopefully, from
and I think
everyone else.
The three of us clearly were blessed with really loving families
yeah.
and friends.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean you have to have 900 people in your corner, right? It
yeah.
could be like one person.
Mm-hmm.
No, it,
you know?
Like I said earlier, it's the quality.
Not the quantity. Right.
It's not, yeah.
I don't want patients on the other side listening, thinking, God, I don't have that many.
No.
I got, you know, it's not about that.
You could
mm-hmm.
just have
one person.
Solid,
yeah.
you know, caregiver.
And if you don't have that person, we can be your people.
Yeah.
yeah.
You
yeah,
can
no,
literally email us and we will be your support caregivers. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. Nobody is ever in this alone.
No.
Like,
or they,
nor
they should be.
If anybody...
Right.
Like, if anybody feels like they're alone, I would have to assume that it's because they're not willing to,
by choice maybe,
let people help them.
Right.
Because you know, this world, like, there's so much love and compassion from strangers that you just, if you don't believe it exists,
mm-hmm.
you'll never receive it because you don't open yourself up. But if you open yourself up, you'll be amazed to see
yes.
how much
comes your way.
Mm-hmm.
Comes your way, and you just have to have it's your mental attitude
mm-hmm.
towards, you know.
Well, and that's such a great point you make, because there's plenty of patients out there that don't want to talk about
mm.
their situation, which is understandable. I mean, it's highly personal. You know, it's overwhelming. A lot of times they don't want to talk about it because it's just too overwhelming to talk about. But to hide yourself from the support you could receive
yeah.
out of fear of what you're going through, that I think is a mistake. And I think as a patient, letting people in, letting them know, hey, I'm facing this, and I can use all the good vibes and help that I can get, that's, you know, that's a very honest and, you know, very worthwhile ask, I think. And I would encourage patients who feel like, I don't want to talk about it to anyone, I don't want to share anything, I want to keep it all hidden, I would encourage them to reevaluate that, because we three have seen the power of having love and support and compassion and positive vibes from our group of friends and family.
And strangers.
Yeah,
that
lots
it
of strangers.
Can only help you.
Yeah.
It can only help you.
Yes.
You know?
We're social organisms. Like,
mm-hmm.
all, you know, we're social beings. Like,
yeah.
You know? Somebody gets sick, you're going to have a lot of people with compassion surrounding you to
right.
lift you up. It's like, it's our animalistic, humanistic nature.
Totally.
You know, and if you don't open up yourself, you're missing out. You're only, you know, ripping yourself off.
Right.
Right.
It's part of the healing process.
Yeah. It's you're
You're chipping yourself. You're not taking your medicine.
Exactly.
You're not taking your medicine, right?
You can't, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would hope by sharing, you know, if you're keeping it to yourself, and I hope by sharing it, I hope more good comes to you than harm.
Yeah.
Because from our experiences, I think sharing it, like we said, like it has opened up way more support and way more care.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah.
So.
And this is another thing to, you know, somebody who's newly diagnosed or going through whatever, like, never mind. I lost my thought. There's so much there.
You can use that for the rest of your life, I've decided. Brandon, it was 20 years ago?
Yeah.
You hit your 20 mark?
Monday. Wait, what's the date?
Today's the 16th.
Yes, happy.
Yeah, Monday.
Happy 20.
On Monday.
20 years. 20 years.
Post.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's amazing.
It is crazy.
You celebrated 20 years being cancer.
Yeah, I can almost drink legally.
Wow. But yeah, I think you can use Chemo Brain for the rest of your life. So if you ever forget anything.
Oh, shit. It's,
you get to use it.
I remember what I was going to say.
Yeah, there it
is. Oh, yeah, I forgot again. No, seriously.
You forgot. Well, I hope people are, whoever's listening, I hope there are good tips, good ideas, encouragement, you know.
I remember now. I'm not going to forget. You know, as a cancer survivor, mm-hmm. I know just from experience and meeting with all other cancer survivors that we all want to help others that are going through what we went through.
Yeah.
So don't ever, like we said earlier, I mean, don't ever feel like you're alone. Like there are lots and lots of organizations and places
yes.
and people and, you know, that you could find help. And I think it's very healing to find survivors that have gone through it because we can help.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Whether you believe it or not. I mean, if you're going through cancer, I would hope that after speaking to any one of us, you would feel better
after.
You know, you're definitely not going to feel worse.
No.
You know, and there's millions of cancer survivors out there that are just waiting to be able to help somebody, but they just, you know, they don't encounter it or, you know, just, it's there.
Yeah, it is there. The support is there.
Yeah.
So support your friends, family, loved ones, whoever's going through it, support them just by your presence, uplifting presence and patience. Ask for help. Ask for it. Open yourself up to it, right?
Yeah, and don't get offended too if they decline your help.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're just not ready to, you know, put it out there.
Totally.
Like,
be as understanding and patient as possible.
Yeah, it's definitely not personal.
Yeah. It's not personal.
Don't take anything
personal.
Yeah.
No, don't take it personal. Just put it out there. Because just the simple offer of being present, you know, to visit or send something is a huge thing. Yeah.
Give them their favorite stuff.
Penguins.
Whatever they
want.
Yeah.
Penguins and anteaters.
Yep. That's all you need.
Okay.
All right. Well, I don't know. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Good luck,
you guys,
everyone.
hit us up anytime.